Loud, jangling music erupted from the rear. When he spun, Thrill Bill was smiling at him. The sound was coming from a small black box on the floor beside the bed.
The people in the hall outside will be listening at the door.
The warlord stepped closer to them.
A little white noise will give us some privacy.
Then he faced Dam.
Okay, Sarge, let's hear the story.
Mitsuki hired me to snatch Carter away from Five. Me and the captain decided to pull a double cross on Mitsuki by taking him for ourselves. We planned to hold on to him until we scored safe passage to Shadow World.
Mitsuki sent the tactical unit after you?
Looks like they didn't trust me. Now we're fucked in a great big way.
Not an exclusive club anymore.
Thrill Bill looked at Nara.
Never seen you so damned pale. What is it? All those dead folks out there giving you a flashback, Captain?
Nara glared at him.
Yeah. I never could stand the sight of blood.
Funny. That's not how I remember it.
Thrill Bill adjusted the frayed khaki strap that held his goggles in place. Then he changed the subject.
You've been over to the other side, Captain. Is it half as sweet as the Tellus claim?
Sweeter. Space to breathe. More animals than people. Trees. Even birds. I saw birds, Bill.
Sounds like heaven.
Ryan was sick of the banter and the delay. He stepped up toe-to-toe with the warlord, close enough to see the fingerprints and grease smears on the lenses of his goggles.
I want out of here. Back to where I came from. Back to Deathlands. If you can't help me get there, you're going through that window. Hair spikes first.
Your vid doesn't do you justice, Shadow Man. You got style.
Ryan tensed, preparing to do just what he'd promised. Dam inserted an arm between their opposing chests.
Wait a minute. Maybe we can work something out.
I'm listening.
Come with us. Otherwise, you'll rot here with everybody else.
The warlord reached inside his armor vest and produced a red plastic tag. He showed it to them proudly. It had the number 79 printed on it.
Already got my ticket, Sarge. I'm going over in the first wave with the CEOs.
You might as well save some time and cut your throat right now. The lottery is a hoax. Five isn't taking anybody below level 100. Never had any plans to, either.
Thrill Bill looked at her.
You wouldn't shit me now, would you, Captain?
Have I ever shit you, Bill?
The two stared eye to eye for a long moment. Then the warlord examined the ticket.
I guess I knew all along it was too good to be true.
He ripped the ticket in two and tossed it over his shoulder.
Fucked by the CEOs again.
Fucked for the last time, unless you hook up with us.
Ryan glowered impatiently at the warlord. Thrill Bill twirled the tip of one of his hair spikes.
You three stand zero chance of reaching the Totality Concept Complex. Five's got the biggest army on the planet, and you can be sure it's going to be protecting the CEO's escape route.
If you hang around Gloomtown, you're going to starve to death.
Maybe Bill wants to stick around and see his flock out. Very noble of him.
What? You don't think I'm capable of something like that? You think it's beyond a former dog soldier grunt like me to go down with the ship?
Nara shook her head.
I know you're up to it. I think it's a pointless gesture. You can't do anything for the people outside this room. You can't make their dying any easier. You can only save yourself.
As if to underscore the remark, screams loud enough to be heard over the din of music came from the room above. A dark form plummeted past the window to Ryan's right. As he turned to face the glass, another body dropped from above. The crowds outside roared their approval.
That'll be Major Lujan on his way out.
He pushed between Ryan and Dam and threw open the window so they could all lean over the sills. One story below, the mob was closing in on two men in armor lying crumpled on the street. A few feet from the building's facade, a pair of gray ropes swayed. Wet, glistening gray ropes. On closer inspection, Ryan thought they looked more like empty hoses, only they were twisted and kinked. Stretching over the window frame, he reached out a hand to touch one.
No, don't.
Yoo-hoo!
Ryan craned his neck around and looked to see who was shouting at him. The Sekhmen leaning out of the windows of the floor above waved at him. They had bloody knives in their hands. Not hoses, Ryan thought. Guts. Before Thrill Bill's bodyguards had thrown their prisoners out the windows, they had nailed their intestines to the sills. The weight of their bodies had made their innards uncoil as they dropped, and when the weight came down on the ends of the tether, guts ripped free. That this had partially broken their fall was no mercy. With stomachs torn halfway through the missing armor plates on their chests, they were set upon by a swarming, angry mob.
There is no truth, but some small justice.
So what's your answer? Are you in or out?
If I can get us into the complex, you can get us across to Shadow World?
No, but he can.
Thrill Bill stared at Ryan.
Five will take him back dead. It's either that or the Alliance is going to fall apart. But they would prefer to get him alive. Once we're inside the complex, we can use him to bargain for transport.
Ryan had already picked out the weapon he wanted. He darted away from the window, stooped, and swept up a submachine gun with a stick mag. He flicked the charging knob and leveled the blaster at them.
I think I'll find my own way back, and you can forget about tagging along. You're never going to leave this room.
Easy, Ryan. We're not going to sell you out and leave you behind. I owe it to you to get you back where you came from. You don't deserve to die here.
We're all getting out, Carter, or no one is.
The Mercy's words were still hanging in the air when the building was rocked by a blast that rained ceiling plaster on them. Ryan looked out the window and saw black APCs pouring out of the ramp that connected to the levels above, fanning the street with lines of green fire. Jack Lauren wasn't watching the sky as the aircraft closed in. The shores of the boiling lake held dangers, too. Dangers just as near. Over the bubbling mud and the beat of the propellers, he strained to locate the sound he had just heard. Despite the sweltering heat, the muted back-and-forth yap-yap had made his blood run cold. There it was again. The signal. Not human. Jack kicked one of the bleached bones at his feet. A thigh bone from a wild boar, probably. It was sheared at both ends. To do something like that, an animal had to be triple big, with sharp teeth and powerful jaws. Long bones only cracked under tremendous pressure. The other companions stood transfixed by the aircraft swooping out of the night sky. Jack alone watched their backs. Along the shoreline in the dim distance, bursting through clouds of sulfurous steam, the teenager saw dozens upon dozens of red eyes, just like his, bobbing a foot or two above the ground. Jack caught flashes of the moonlight reflected off yellow fangs, and over the steady rumble of the boiling pools, he heard their exalted yapping.
JB!
Jack raised his .357 Magnum Colt Python and thumbed back the hammer. The creatures weren't fleeing in a panic before the noise of the propellers, and they weren't short, unless you compare them to a buffalo. The pack of muty coyotes ran with their necks bent, their heads lowered to catch the scent. As they loped around the curve of shoreline, now that their prey was in sight, they were deadly quiet, like shadows on all fours.
JB!
The teen opened fire. The big hand blaster barked and bucked against his two-handed grip. A single coyote at the front of the bunch screamed and twisted in agony, throwing itself into the air. The pack kept coming. Jack fired again, crumpling the lead coyote, who tumbled under its onrushing followers, causing them to stumble and yelp and leap out of the way. Doc looked away from the gunship, over his shoulder, at what was coming toward them.
God's truth. We are well and truly in the soup.
JB spun and fired his 12-gauge. He pumped the slide.
Chill the bastards! Get them before they're on us or they'll rip us apart!
The companions turned their backs on the hovering aircraft and unleashed a torrent of blaster fire at the onrushing horde. Death from above was no longer their primary concern. Though they dropped coyote after coyote with volleys of well-aimed shots, there seemed no end to the pack, and the twice-normal-sized creatures could cover 20 feet in a single bound. Before they knew it, the beasts were in among them, circling, leaping, snapping at their faces. Mildred seized the hairy throat of an attacker, jammed the muzzle of her ZKR pistol into its open maw, and blew its brains out the back of its skull. Before she could throw the creature aside, another had her by the seat of the pants, shaking its head wildly, trying to pull her to the ground. The coyote dragged her backward, down to one knee. It released her and lunged, open-jawed, for her unprotected nape. Jack's right arm moved in a blur. His leaf-bladed throwing knife hit the coyote in midair. It was hurled so hard that the point drove in one eye socket and out the other.